Lubbock is rapidly becoming known for its thriving, innovative business culture that abounds throughout the city. Forged by the Flatlands, Stories from the LBK brings you stories, tips, and insights about what it means to shape and be shaped by Lubbock. Join us as we talk with local business leaders and entrepreneurs to see why they chose to build here in the LBK. This show is brought to you by WonderTree and the Lubbock Chamber of Commerce. Welcome back to Forged by the Flatlands. I'm your host, Riker Taylor. In this episode, we step into the realm of the healthcare transformation that's taking place here in our area. I had the opportunity to meet with Dr. Lori Rice Spearman, the president and visionary leader of the Texas Tech Health Sciences Center. Discover the power of teamwork, strategic roles, and innovation as we delve into her mission to revolutionize the healthcare accessibility here in our region. Get ready to immerse yourself in a narrative that promises to reshape your perspective on healthcare and its future here in Lubbock and the surrounding areas. Let's hear what she has to say. All right. I know that the Texas Tech Health Sciences Center was an early adopter in the telehealth space, setting a precedent for others. What factors or vision influenced this early adoption, and what valuable insights have you gained from this experience?
So one of the challenges of our Texas Tech Health Sciences Center has been really working towards our mission of access to care. And this university, we're over 50 years old, but for three decades, we've been working in the telehealth space because we found very quickly that this was a way that we could push out access to care for those individuals who are in communities who didn't have a primary care physician or clinician or nurse practitioner. And so we started utilizing that type of technology to push healthcare into those underserved communities.
Awesome. That's great. That's great. So how do you plan to build upon this success in the future?
So we were very fortunate in the 88th legislative session to receive funding for a two-year period to establish an institute for telehealth and digital innovation. And one of the lessons we learned through COVID was how we could leverage technology to help us push healthcare further into these communities. And we knew that we were probably the ideal health-related institution in Texas to really meet some of these challenges and test some of these digital innovations that we are now seeing coming on the market to see, okay, will these work in a true healthcare desert like we have out here in West Texas?
Fostering a culture of innovation is crucial for any institution's growth. Could you elaborate on the specific strategies and approaches you've implemented at the Health Sciences Center to build and sustain such a culture of innovation among students, faculty, and staff?
So about 2 years ago, we created a new vision statement for our university, and it's to transform healthcare through innovation and collaboration. Another lesson that we learned after COVID was that when we brought together a very diverse mix of individuals and training backgrounds, it really helped us start solving problems that we had not been able to solve before. And so we decided that we were just going to jump on that and continue to move that forward as a university and use that to help guide us as we go into this next decade. We know that healthcare is going to become this technology-enabled ecosystem. So we've got to be ready to meet those challenges and to really work within that innovation space. So some of the projects we're engaged in is, for example, drone technology. And how can we as a health sciences center leverage a drone that's able to transport specimens, pharmaceuticals to underserved communities who may not have those types of access to, for example, a pharmacy. But we know through telehealth that someone perhaps needs antibiotics. So can we work with the College of Engineering or other individuals to build a box that we can transport these things safely and effectively via drone into a community that has those needs for those types of things? It really is an exciting time to be part of the Health Sciences Center as we start really pushing innovation through our faculty and our staff and students.
Awesome. So something you said just now was very interesting, talking about working with the College of Engineering here at Tech. Talk to me about some of the unique benefits and advantages that you have having such, you know, renowned engineers and other industries right there next to you.
So we're very fortunate here in Lubbock, Texas, to have two independent universities who are right across the street, we like to say across the railroad tracks, who have very diverse missions, but we collaborate wonderfully together. You may not be aware, but we are in the process of standing up a new institute called One Health, because we know that when we collaborate with partners such as engineering and agriculture and the veterinary school, with our medical healthcare side, a lot of human disease originates either in an animal population, and we move diseases back and forth between our two populations. So how do these two world-class universities leverage their strengths and work together to really start solving some One Health issues? And so we are very fortunate to have Texas Tech University as a collaborator.
Yeah, I love that. So can you tell us a little bit more about what One Health is going to be and what all that's going to look like?
So One Health for us is a true opportunity for us to look at as a Texas Tech University system. We are only one of nine university systems that has a pharmacy school, a medical school, and a veterinary school that are all co-located together, particularly on the Amarillo campus. But those opportunities on that campus are also going to be leveraged across all of our campuses as we start looking at unique diseases. One of the things that you may be aware of is wasting disease. We tend to see it in the deer population, but it also can occur sometimes and transfer into a human population. And is there an opportunity there for us to look at that disease and how it translates? You hear about how many flu influences begin in a bird population and then transfer into a human population. So there's a lot of work that we can do when we work collaboratively together in animal disease and human disease to really try to understand how that occurs in our environment.
I know the Health Sciences Center has been at the forefront of several groundbreaking innovations that have garnered attention from other universities. Could you share some of those pioneering innovations, what motivated their creation, and how they have impacted the academic and healthcare landscape?
So I would go back to the question around innovation and us looking at the unique environment we're in and how we have had to develop healthcare models for us out here in West Texas because of our lack of access to care, and then realizing that those same healthcare models can translate into other communities. So for example, in a downtown urban area, they also have what we call health deserts or healthcare deserts where access to care is very challenging. And so we've been able to create some processes and put together some models that are allowing us to translate the models here in West Texas into a downtown urban area that also has those same challenges.
So I know Lubbock could easily be a healthcare desert if it wasn't for good institutions like this. Can you talk to me a little bit about how y'all are impacting that and how y'all have brought Lubbock out of being that potential healthcare desert?
So we've partnered with eight hospitals all across North and West Texas to push healthcare into communities. So just to give you a little bit of background, the Health Sciences Center serves 108 counties of North and West Texas all the way over to El Paso. And we collaborate around the El Paso area with our sister university out there, HSC El Paso. 32 of those 108 counties are considered frontier, and that means that they don't have any primary care provider. We've been able to cut that number in half since we've existed out here. Another interesting fact about our great university is that we are the largest provider of healthcare graduates of any health-related institution in Texas. And we like to say if you're the largest in Texas, there's a pretty good chance you're the largest in the nation. Sure. When it comes to providing healthcare workers. So it's not unusual. We have a very large base of alumni, not just out here in West Texas, but Dallas-Fort Worth area, huge number of providers out there, graduates from our nursing and our medicine and our School of Health Professions and pharmacy and recently population and public health. So we are a true generator of the healthcare workforce for the state of Texas.
I love that. That's awesome. As a successful leader, you possess a wealth of experience. What essential advice would you offer to other aspiring leaders stepping into challenging roles, especially in fields that require fostering innovation and driving change?
So I think my best piece of advice is, number one, look at the team you build around yourself. That team needs to be diverse. You need to have all types of voices on that team. We have a terminology around here that if we are vetting a very important decision, we want to very much look at unintended consequences. And so we'll ask someone take the red team. And the red team is the one who always pushes against consensus or an easy decision to make sure that we are really thinking about what that kind of decision looks like. Also, when you're building a team, it has to be a high-performing team. And sometimes some individuals have to move seats on the team to be in the role that they need to be in to be the most effective for the team. Mm-hmm. So it might not be their favorite role, but it's the role that that team needs to be effective for what it is that we need to accomplish. So we really focus on building high-functioning and high-performing teams around here and diverse teams.
Okay. Putting somebody in their role that they're the most effective at, even if it's not their best or like their favorite role, how do you go about identifying what their true best, most effective role is and helping them thrive?
So one of the processes that we go through as we're building our leadership teams is we do some self-analysis and self-reflection, and we learn about ourselves. What are our weaknesses? What are our strengths? What areas do we do best in? Where do we fit in the team? And so, for example, my strength is tenacity. And so I'm one of those individuals who once I set my sight on a vision, I'm able to help push the team to completion or to the outcome. We have other individuals who are discerners, and they are individuals who think things through, question, make sure that we've got a good solid process in place so that people like me that have tenacity aren't pushing over things or through things. We have other individuals on our teams who are wanderers, and there are folks that question things, you know, well, have we thought of and should we think of and is it time for us to consider? So when we build a team, not only do we build diversity, we build that into our teams as well. And we all know each other's strengths. So we'll say, okay, on this particular project, we need to get so-and-so in here because we know they're a wonder and they think beyond the box and they might be able to help us come to a different solution. So that's one of the tools that we use when we build high-performing teams.
Yeah, I love that. Having different types of people that approach things and the way that you've got that broken out with tenacity and discernment and things like that, those are core traits that are, you know, naturally based on personality. So that's a really good way to break it down in something more unique than some of the other answers I've gotten. So I love that.
Yeah. We actually have a spreadsheet that shows, really? You know, all of that of what the team is. And okay. we are very deliberate at times of going, oh my goodness, we don't have enough enablers on this that are the ones that take the project and move it forward. And so we better get an enabler on this team, or we're all just going to sit here and talk about it.
I love that. So you actually know what the capacity is on something. You can know when you're addressing a project or a potential campaign, we need 5 people like this and 3 people like
absolutely.
That's good. Yeah, you might get some people hitting you up wanting you to share that spreadsheet, but we'll see. We'll see, everybody. So I know we talked a little bit earlier about the good that the Health Sciences Center is doing in terms of helping Lubbock and our area not be a health desert, but kind of stemming off that, I know that there are still some things in some areas, disparities that need to be addressed. So can you kind of talk to me about what that is and what the Health Sciences Center is doing to continue to further invest in those?
So our newest school, the Julia Jones Matthews School of Population and Public Health, is all about going into communities and looking at the health of that community. And what we know, and it's evidence-based research, is that West Texans are dying at a higher rate in 3 key areas, particularly chronic disease, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. And those disparities exist because of a key piece that occurs early on in healthcare, and that's intervention and prevention. And because of their lack of access to care, they get diagnosed later and their disease, sometimes too late, for there to be an effective therapy or treatment employed. And so we really are working on going into our communities and not focusing just on disease itself, but the health of that community and what we can do to help build the health of that community.
Looking ahead to the next decade, where do you envision Lubbock and the surrounding region?
That's a very exciting question for us. Lubbock is a dynamic and growing community, and it really has become a healthcare destination. We have individuals travel from all over eastern New Mexico and all across the state to come to Lubbock, Texas to access care. And so we know we have a responsibility to continue to grow that group of individuals who can serve others. And what is healthcare going to look like in the next 10 years? We talked about the technology-enabled mm-hmm. ecosystem. Mm-hmm. We've talked about digital medicine and digital innovation and what's going to happen with that. And what is a doctor's visit going to look like? What is the model of care that we will be using? We have a lot of doctoral entry level programs that are coming up, the entry-level physical therapy program that allows, hopefully soon here in the state of Texas, for you to access physical therapy care. We have nurse practitioners who are able to also provide a certain level of care. We're using telehealth to access care. So I think Lubbock, in fact, I know Lubbock is going to continue to be the hub of healthcare for this region and across a vast area in this region. And with our level one trauma and our partnerships we have here with Covenant and with University Medical Center, it's a really exciting time. Another thing that will be here in 10 years is a state-of-the-art comprehensive cancer center, so that our community members will no longer have to travel long distances to seek care for oncology and cancer. So there's a lot of exciting things happening in Lubbock, Texas around healthcare.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. How does the Health Sciences Center play a pivotal role in shaping the future of healthcare, education, and community development here in our area?
Well, we like to say we're the future of health. We're training every future healthcare provider in this institution, in Amarillo, in the Permian Basin, in Abilene, in Midland, Texas. And because we are the largest health-related institution, we're the future of health for the state of Texas. And so we are key for what the health of Texas is going to look like moving into the future.
Leading an institution like the Health Sciences Center requires a diverse skill set and the ability to handle multiple responsibilities. Could you share how you stay prepared to tackle the complexity that come with your role? And what disciplines and practices do you have in place to help thrive in a demanding role?
So first and foremost, I have a wonderful team around me right here in the office of the president. And we are all singularly focused on the mission of this great university, and that is access to care. And so what is my role in ensuring that I am the ambassador for the institution and that I'm telling our stories? And so I take a notebook home every night of homework where I prepare for the next day, and I'm learning as much as I can right now. A big push for us will be machine learning and AI and all of that. So I'm actually doing a CME course right now in AI and digital innovation, because I know that that's the future of health and how important it is that I stay current. So I like to say that one of the tools is I'm always learning. I'm a very naturally curious person. The other thing that I do is I journal. Every night I think about the day and what could I have done better. Did I align with our values? We have a values-based culture here, and did the decisions I made that day with the team around me and interacting with the team and our team members, you know, did I align with our values-based culture? Is there something I could have done differently? Do I need to reach out to anyone? And all of that is in my journal, and I recommit every morning to the next day of what we're going to have to face and the challenge, and just face it every day.
Wrapping up this compelling episode, we first want to thank Dr. Lori Rice-Spearman for taking the time to be a part of it. We are so thankful for her insight on team building strategies and the innovative healthcare technology that her and her team at the Texas Tech Health Sciences Center has delivered in the past and is working on for the future generations here in our area. Let's apply what we've learned today and lead with purpose and passion. Stay tuned for more inspiring discussions, and make sure to like, subscribe, and leave us feedback in the comments so we can continue bringing content like this to you. Catch you in the next one.